But I want to share something with you. Through God's creative process in this world, there are five basic questions that I am convinced all mankind is going to ask at one point or another. Now, I'm sure you'll find variations of these questions in different books and all this, but I can assure you the five I came up with came out of my heart, not out of somebody else's resource. You know, some people think about these questions early in their life, in their adolescent years, and they begin answering these questions. And then there are others that wait till later, and then there are others that perhaps never really have an answer to these questions. But I am convinced, folks, the way we answer these next five questions depends on what you and I do with our life here on this earth. God is incredible. Reading and studying once again for this series of messages, I am overwhelmed by the creative process of God. That's why in verse 3, anytime in the Old and New Testament, you see the letter A or B. B is the second part of the verse, and A is the first part of the verse. And that's why I, for this morning, ended our scripture with three words, "And God said." Can you imagine the power just in those three words alone? "And God said." God said. So in writing down these questions, I came up with five. Number one, where did I come from? Thank you, bud. Thank you very much. The second thing is, where am I going? The third question is, why was I created? And the fourth is, what must I do? And the fifth question is, how do I finish? These five questions, God demands that you and I deal with. But they're such incredible questions. Incredible questions that do exactly what Keith and the trio, they just sang about. To bring us closer to God. Because you can't ponder the answer to these five questions unless you look deep within your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture does not argue God's existence. It declares God's existence. And folks, we forget that sometimes. Scripture does not argue the fact that the heavens and the earth have a creator. It declares the fact that God said He is the Creator. And so over these next few weeks, what I want to do is an intensive Bible study as to what the Word of God says about each of these five questions. And my hope is this. I hope it'll renew our faith together. I hope that God's Word will challenge us to share it more in 2015. Just being a witness. Letting people know who Jesus Christ is. And my hope also is that through our congregation and through sharing the Word of God, that many folks will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because of us sitting right here together. So the way I want to answer this question is I want to ask four others. That may be confusing, but I think it'll all come together in just a minute. The first question that I want us to ask based on where do I come from, and not only ask, but to answer, is this question. Write it down. When? Just write the word when down in that first blank. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Breshith bara Elohim, eith hashemayim wa eith haaretz. It's Hebrew. Not to impress you. That's the only verse I can say in Hebrew. Well, I can say a few more, but I have to look at it. I've done this one many times. When did the universe come into being? We are still trying to figure that one out in terms of the Scientology of this world. When did it first begin? When was matter first formed and energy first activated? When was the heavens and the earth created? That is the question that continues to buzz, no matter where you go in what you do. The Bible tells it, and it tells us in the simplest of ways, in a way that all nations and all people can understand, that the heavens were created bereshit, in beginning. For there was the beginning in this universe. Neither this world nor human life are eternal. And the universe has not always existed. And so this phrase, in beginning, means that there is a time that God said it started and it began. Now I want to show you something on the screen this morning. A little bit of Hebrew. Hebrew is read from right to left, just like this. Back to front, according to us. These little dots and dashes right through here are what we call vowel points. They were added in 500 A.D. by a group of people called the Masoretes. The reason they were added is so us guys in the 21st century could somewhat be able to pronounce Hebrew. And you remember the Tetragrammaton? I've told you YHWH2BIM. You know, Yahweh God, today, this day, there are no vowel points to that word. Whenever you see it printed in Scripture, you will not see vowel pointing. Why? Because we still do not know how to pronounce YHWH, the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. But I want to show you something about this word right here. That little letter in Hebrews, Beth, that little dot right there, tells us to pronounce that word with a B, as in boy, ba, sound. But when you add both of these are actually a formation of a culmination of a lot of words into one. It comes from the origin of beginning, but there is a way that in Hebrew, if there is no definite article, incidentally, in Hebrew. It's written in words like this. But even what we call, and I use another big word, a preformative, something on the front, or an adformative, something on the end of the word, is not there. You got to trust me on this one in terms of this word. What it means, literally translated, is in beginning. There is no word the in this word at all. And then you stop and think, why do we translate something in the beginning? But folks, let me say this to you. In Jewish theology, in the teaching, in the heart of the people in this word, they knew exactly how this word was written, and they knew exactly what it meant. It meant that God was placing a beginning on this universe. Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us the date. The Scripture doesn't try to figure out how many millions or thousands or hundreds of years this universe has been in existence. The Scripture tells us one thing. And God said, period. God created it. The when of you and I is the creative power of God. It was in beginning that there was a beginning. Folks, we're never going to figure that one out. We're never going to understand that one. There is no way. Volumes upon volumes upon volumes, and software after software after software has been written trying to carbon date and get back to all the scientific study. And I've done that. I've looked back in this. And folks, the bottom line is the when of everything in terms of where did I come from is, and God said, I am here for a purpose. God created me for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. And until He's finished with me and you, we're breathing. That ought to make you feel so special. That ought to make you just, wow. You mean God loves me like that? Folks, that's no secret to all of us in this house of how God loves us. But He wants us to know that the when of this is that the beginning was God. The beginning itself was God. And then I think, folks, I go back to Psalm verse 90. For in your sight a thousand years are like yesterday that passes by like a few hours of the night. And then you remember 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. Dear friends, don't let this one ever escape you. With the Lord, one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. Folks, you got to understand, you and I, we look at time in human birth and death. God looks before and after death. He is not time conscious. There is no time from a standpoint of God, for time for God is eternal. He says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says in Revelation 21:6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water as a gift to those who are thirsty from the spring of life. And in Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The first question that we ask to answer our question, where do we come from, when, is simply God created. God put it together. God spoke, and you and I came into existence. I could go throughout the scripture and share with you how God, the book of Jeremiah, formed you. You know those scriptures. God put us together. The reason why is His purpose to glorify Him. You and I are here for one purpose on this earth as a child of God, and that's to lift up Jesus. He's letting us breathe. He has our air in His hand. And all God has to do is speak it, and it's gone. And I remind you, God has said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every one of us in this house are moving toward that appointment. We don't know when that is for any of us in the house. And God sent Jesus to answer even that question for us, that we would be, as a child of God, absent from this body and present with the Lord. There's a second question that we answer the big question with. Write the word who. Write the word who. In the beginning, what? God. God created. Now, James, I think I've got that other slide that I want to go back to this because I've got to show you something. This word right here. This is Bereshith. This is, again, there's that same B with a little dot. There's a name for that. I won't try to worry you with that. Just, it tells us to pronounce it as a B. Bara. That little sound, A, there, means it's a lay sound. And this right here is the word Elohim. H-I-M. Anytime in a Hebrew word, you put what we say, the Hirik Yod Main. Believe it or not, that's a Hirik. That's a Yod, and that's a Main. That makes a Hebrew word plural, just like adding an S makes it plural in the English. So, literally, the first three words, in beginning, God's created. You can't see that in the English. And then when you see it in the Hebrew, you always say, and I do, well, why did God choose the name Elohim and make it plural? What was the understanding of Elohim? Folks, you got to understand, in those days there was the belief of a polytheistic world, a belief that there was many gods. We live in that same kind of world. You know, people to this day have a little G-O-D for about everything they can ever imagine. The Hebrew people understood the word Elohim right here. It was pronounced Adonai. It was pronounced Elohim, just like it says, and never used when the tetragrammaton, the four consonants, were used. But in Genesis 1:1, the word Elohim is specific. It is the word used, and it's a word describing that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this one word alone, you see the Trinity. That's why it's plural. Can't see that in English. And that's just the third word of the Bible. In the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let me show you one other word. This is not a Hebrew lesson, but folks, this excites me to no ends. You know, to see stuff like this and hear. This word right here is three letters. B. Well, there's the A sound, R, and the Aleph in the Hebrew, right there. B-R-A, bara. The word means to create. Now, there's another word used to create that means create something out of something that's already here. This is not what this word means. This word means to create something literally out of nothing. And that word is always used when it refers to God, of Elohim. Why? Because it's only God who can bara. You know, I think, and I contemplate this, We always say, you know, they threw the mold away when they made you. Well, that's true. We are unique. You know, Tom, what's a thumb body? You know, we got our thumbprint. You know, that's our mark. That's only us. That's special. That's who we are. God created you out of nothing. Now, you just sit on that for a little while. And it blows you away. You mean God loved me so much that He took time to create me out of nothing, to mold me even in the womb of my mother, to be that person that God would want me to be throughout my life? And there, wow, what about the power of God? The answer to our question of where do we come from is who? God formed this man in the womb of his mom, Odine Cheek. And as a result, on August the 14th, 1952, at around 10 o'clock in the morning at Crawford and Long Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, here I came. And though your birthday and time is different, so did you. God created you. Elohim. And He created you with this word right here. Bara. I don't know, folks. I just think in this world, when you're beat to a pulp with everything going on, when this world is trying to sell you everything by any every other means other than the faith in Jesus Christ, when they're trying to bombard you, when they're trying to destroy you, I hope it's refreshing to come in and hear the Word of God as it pertains to you and your life, that God created you. He's the who of this whole thing. He is the Elohim. He is the one who bara for you and for me. Folks, to understand this word right here, Elohim, and to understand it's plural, and what does it mean? Later in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. You remember that verse? Let us. What's the us? Who's the us? Man wasn't around at that time. Remember? But the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they were. So much theology. We didn't even got past the third word yet. So much teaching just in those verses. Wow, I am blown away by the who in that as well. The third question. The third question. Write the word what down there. The word what. God not only created this universe, but God bara, God created it out of nothing. The Bible says in the last part of that verse 1 that He created the heavens. Wa'eith hashamayim wa'eith ha'aretz. The heavens and the earth. Now the next verse explains, and I didn't go all the way through that in terms of the creation, how God did the what. It's that first, and I'll go back to it as we close in just a minute, the very fact that God said, God created it, He's the only one who created it, He is the only one that created you and me, and God created this universe. I know we deal with the evolutionary theory. We deal with all kind of stuff going on in the scientific world. We have scientists who are strong Christians that will refute everything from evolutionary theory to scientific study. And they say God is the reason. It's not a Big Bang theory. It just didn't blow up and it all just kind of fit in one little spot. But scientists are now learning, and they and many of them are believing and saying the earth, which we know is 8,000 miles in diameter and 25,000 miles in circumference. The earth measures less than one grain of sand on all the seashores of the earth in comparison to the whole universe. Our earth is within a solar system. A system of 9 other planets that revolve around the sun. 10 if you count the earth. And the largest planet of our solar system is Jupiter. It is so large that Jupiter, I think and I understand, is 1,300 times the size of the earth. And our sun is so large that it is about 864,000 miles in diameter. And so that means the sun could hold 1,300,000 Earths. And if we could just imagine the distance, 93 million miles from this Earth, but this is only the beginning. Our solar system is one solar system of millions that make up what we know and we say is a galaxy. There are millions and millions of solar systems that are just like our nine planets revolving around the sun. Millions and millions of solar systems. And our galaxy has billions and billions of stars scattered all throughout the heavens. And scientists said at least 200 billion or more. Now, folks, if that just doesn't stagger your imagination, just think of this. There is one big star, the scientists now, and they've called it a name, and I can't even pronounce it, and it says that it's 215 million miles in diameter. How big is that? Well, I looked at it just to see. The sun could sit in the star's center, and the Earth could revolve around the sun in its present orbit without ever touching the sides of this enormous star. Wow. When we stand out at night and we look up into the heavens, we see what we call, and it's called the Milky Way, is the name of our own galaxy. And then we look up at the Milky Way on a starry night, we see the light that is reflected by the billions and billions of stars across the sky. Billions and billions of stars that are a part of our own galaxy. But then remember this, there are millions of galaxies. But that's not all. Scientists tell us that the galaxies are moving away from each other at an incredible speed, a speed that exceeds millions of miles per hour. Can you imagine? The stars of the galaxy of the heavens are moving away from each other, traveling millions and millions and miles away from each other. Every hour, our universe is expanding. That's what scientists refer to as an expanding universe. Where did the heavens come from? What is the origin of this universe? No clearer declaration can be made than what's found in the book of God Himself in His Word when He says God created the universe, the heavens and the earth. God brought it into being. That's the what of our question. God was there, but not only was God there, so was Jesus, so was the Holy Spirit. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Can you understand that just even a little more now? God is always with us. He surrounds us. He wants to make Himself known to us. He wants us to experience His presence and power. And yet today, there are less and less people, even in our evangelical churches, who sense their own personal need to draw closer to God, to Elohim. God Almighty Himself. Folks, things just didn't happen. It didn't just come into the being. This universe just didn't appear. It just didn't begin. God had the beginning, and God was the reason for the beginning. Now, it all depends on one thing. Do you believe the Word of God? I do. From Genesis to Revelation and everything in it. God said it, doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. That settles it. All of what I have said this morning is contingent on the very fact of do you believe the Word of God? If you don't, we got a problem. One more question I want to ask. Write this one down. It's found in verses 2 to the first part of verse 3. How? Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the face of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. What do you think about when you hear the word hover? I think of a helicopter. I don't know. I've always wanted to fly a helicopter. Never did. But I always wanted to. Flown in one. I've just never flown one before. But that old helicopter up there just hovering. When you look at the Hebrew word to hover, I love this one too, folks. It means to hang in there and never leave. It means continual hovering. Never stopping. Y'all just think about that. God is hovering. over me and you. All the time. The word means eternal hovering, not just at creation. Now, yes, it pictures a darkness. It pictures water. It pictures waves that you and I can't even imagine. A void, as it says. But God says, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of darkness, of watery, of everything, God said, I hovered over. And God tells me, Randy, I'm hovering over you, bud. God tells Rod, I'm hovering over you. That's what God said. And I could say that to every one of you in here. Because I can say it with confidence, that word in the Hebrew means it is a constant hovering. How? Where do we come from? God hovered at that point in the very act of our creation, and God continues to hover over you and me. Thank you, Lord. Times when you're at home alone. Times when you feel depressed, you're down, you're worried, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. Time when health is going crazy and you don't understand. Always remember that the God who created you continues to hover. And nothing will ever happen to you that is the surprise of God. Why? Because you've answered the question, where did I come from? When? Who? What? And how? I think of Joshua as he was Moses' successor to lead the people into the promised land. And God said to Joshua, have I commanded you, Joshua? Did you forget? I reminded you, be strong and courageous. Don't you be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then that last part of, first part of verse 3. And God said. Make no mistake, folks. God hasn't stopped speaking to all of us in this house individually, to this church, to God's church, His bride on this earth. And God said. I am so glad that when we ponder the question of where do we come from, we understand the creation, we understand the power of God, but we understand the fact that God spoke it. God said it. That's the type of God you and I worship, folks. That's the type of God that's calling us to be seekers after His heart into our life. That's the God that will say to you and has said to us, constantly, I'll see to it. I'll take care of things. Just trust me. Atheism has still never given an answer to our existence. Peace to a troubled mind or even dried a tear, for it's God who created heaven and earth and flung the stars into space. It's God who sits on the circle of this earth and measures the mountains. It's God who sent His one and only Son to the cross of Calvary to take every sin that you and I would ever commit. So there is hope. There is a light. There is an answer to all the questions of life. Where do we come from? There's a flame that burns in the night. And where did it come from? Simple. Three words. And God said. Where did it come from? Simple. And God said.